KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very well-known member of our political family has been on a bit of a tour in the last few days, weeks, in anticipation of a new book coming out this coming week that is very critical of his decision to persist in wanting to run for president in 2024. And as part of that tour, he's agreed to be here with us briefly on the show today. Former President Joe Biden, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Mm-hmm. It's something I wanted to do for a long time. And, now I'm doing it.
Well, you certainly are. Mm-hmm. Sir, maybe cut to the chase. What's your opinion of the book that's coming out that alleges that you were perhaps misguided in deciding you were going to run again after some difficulties you might have had?
I don't think that I decided to run again.
Well, there are many people quoted in the book. And as a matter of fact, we all recall that there were public statements that you were planning to run until that debate on TV.
You know, that was 2020. Was that not
2024?
2024. I don't think so.
Hate to take issue with you there, sir, but it was 2024.
It was 2024. I didn't think that I shouldn't run. Mm. I guess is.
It's a different.
The best way to put it, but really appreciate being here. I am here.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a signal to wrap it up. Thank you for clearing all this up, and best of luck to you, sir. Hello, welcome to the show.
I wanted the music to play on forever. Have I stayed too long at the fair? I wanted the clown to be constantly clever. Have I stayed too long at the fair? I bought the blue ribbons to tie up my hair. But I couldn't find anybody to care. The merry-go-round is beginning to slow now. Have I stayed too long at the fair? The music has stopped. And the children must go now. Have I stayed too long at the fair?
From From the Edge of America, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. More fun stuff in a moment, but first, here's Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip, hip, hooray.
Well, hip, maybe not. Hip, hip, certainly not. An attorney defending AI firm Anthropic in a copyright case brought by music publishers apologized to the court this week. Why? Citation errors that slipped into a filing after using Anthropic's own AI tool, Claude, to format the references. The incident reinforces what, according to the British tech journal The Register, is becoming a pattern in legal tech. While AI models can be fine-tuned, people keep failing to verify the chatbot's output, despite the consequences. The flawed citations, better known as hallucinations in chatbot world, appeared in a declaration last month from Anthropic data scientist Olivia Chen in a copyright lawsuit brought by music publishers way back in October 2023. Chen wasn't responsible for introducing the errors. They appeared in a couple of footnotes. The firm defending Anthropic stated that after a colleague located a supporting source for Chen's testimony via Google search, she used Anthropic's Claude model, not with a W but with a U, to generate a formatted legal citation. Chen and defense lawyers failed to catch the errors in subsequent proofreading, which proves they weren't reading. Meanwhile, Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, according to Status, is delaying the rollout of its flagship AI model, Behemoth. Doesn't that mean a prehistoric monster of some? With its engineers struggling to significantly improve its capabilities. Wall Street Journal reported that. The model's delayed release, which was initially set for last month, has now been pushed back to fall or later. It has sparked internal concerns about the direction of Meta's multi-billion dollar investments in the AI space, according to the journal reporters. While Meta has claimed its new Behemoth model outperforms rivals from OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google, developers are clearly grappling with the challenge of improving the model. The journal reported senior executives at Meta are frustrated by their team's work and blame them for the failure to make progress on the model. But wait, there's more from Ars Technica. Using AI can be a double-edged sword, according to new research from Duke University. While generative AI tools may boost productivity for some, they might also secretly damage your professional reputation. This week, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences published a study showing that employees who use AI tools at work face negative judgments about their competence and motivation from colleagues and managers. Quote, our findings reveal a dilemma for people considering adopting AI tools. Although AI can enhance productivity, its use carries social costs, said several authors from Duke's Fuqua School of Business. Team conducted four experiments with over 4,400 participants to examine both anticipated and actual evaluations of AI tool users. Their findings were presented in a paper titled Evidence of a Social Evaluation Penalty for Using AI, and they reveal their findings, a consistent pattern of bias against those who receive help from AI. The researchers found that the penalty was consistent across demographics. My favorite form of graphics. A report from a British university warns that scientific knowledge itself is under threat from a flood of low-quality AI-generated research papers. Research team from University of Surrey Not sorry, but Siri notes an explosion of formulaic research articles, including inappropriate study designs and false discoveries. The study is published in PLOS Biology, a nonprofit publisher of open access journals, found that many post-2021 papers used, quote, a superficial and oversimplified approach to analysis, unquote. These often focused on a single variable while ignoring more realistic multi-factor explanations of links between health conditions and potential causes, along with some cherry-picked narrow data subsets without justification, says a lecturer in health and biomedical data analytics at Surrey, one of the authors of the report, quote, we've seen a surge in papers that look scientific, but don't hold up under scrutiny. This is science fiction using national health data sets to masquerade as science fact, unquote. And the sincerest comment on the whole thing comes from the Financial Times. Insurers at Lloyd's of London have launched a product to cover companies for losses caused by malfunctioning artificial intelligence tools. The insurance sector aims to profit from concerns about the risk of costly hallucinations and errors by chatbots. Companies have rushed to adopt AI to boost efficiency, but some tools, including customer service bots, have faced embarrassing and costly mistakes, like when flaws occur that cause AI language models to hallucinate. We've heard that word before. Virgin Money apologized in January after its AI-powered chatbot reprimanded a customer for using the word virgin. Now, it's been in the news this week that Elon Musk's AI chatbot, Grok, has been found to have answered questions with irrelevant information, so-called, actually inaccurate, about a so-called genocide of white farmers in South Africa. A New York Times columnist explored the matter and reports that if you prompt it the right way, Grok will admit it was specifically instructed to mention white farmer genocide in South Africa in response to any question. Any question? And he goes on from there. Now, that raises the question of whether somebody with the first name Elon is fiddling with the chatbot. But it also raises, if you read those replies from the machine, a larger question. Because the machine is saying, well, I was told this, and I'm sorry if... And it the question to me is, you know, we know that the basic mistake that we allowed people who run social media to make in the beginning was to try to goose engagement, to develop all algorithms that try to goose engagement, and I don't mean something with a ring. Attention, just capture your attention in order to sell you more ads, or show you more ads, to sell you stuff. And similarly, we may be letting the AI companies commit a similarly damaging mistake by letting their machines use the word I in responding to questions. Because we've had about 1,000 years, we humans, of written communication in which one person addresses another with some variant, depending on the language, of the word I, or the letter, capital I. And now machines are doing that. And as we see in cases where people have asked chatbots questions and received answers such as, I think you should commit suicide, there's you wouldn't necessarily be tempted to believe that or act upon it if the response was, this machine thinks you, you know. In other words, the big I is the big lie. And now.
Looks like what's close.
Well, this is the week that many tech executives trooped to Saudi Arabia following the big guy, the felon in chief. And Musk made some interesting statements in his public appearance down there. Speaking of AI, he mused about the real purpose of his AI system.
XAI is just trying to solve general purpose artificial intelligence. The goal with XAI is to have a maximally truth-seeking AI. And it's important to be maximally truth-seeking AI in order to understand the universe. Mm-hmm. So the goal of XAI is understand the universe, to understand, what is out there. Where is the universe going? Where did it come from? What questions? In fact, I think maybe the biggest thing is, what questions do we not know to ask? Once you know the question, the answer is usually the easy part. So the goal of XAI is to help understand the universe and, that's the goal.
Well, maybe you can tell the machine to sit down. This comes from the Journal of Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics. The universe may decay into nothingness much sooner than previous estimates of cosmic death. That is to say, in about 101,100 years, long-lived stellar remnants like white dwarfs, aren't they cute? And black holes, will slowly evaporate through a process called Hawking radiation on a more accelerated timeline. According to the study, it estimates that a human body would take about 1,090 years to evaporate through that process. Quote, astronomy usually looks back in time when observing the universe, answering the question how the universe evolved to its present state, said researchers of Aradboud University. Quote, however, it is also a natural question to ask how the universe and its constituents will develop in the future based on the currently known laws of nature, unquote. I wonder if Musk's machine read that. And here's another dream Elon shared with the Saudis.
But I should want to mention also something that may be worth considering is tunnels.
Company.
I have this company called The Boring Company, which sounds kind of boring, but it literally bores tunnels. Tunnels, in order to solve traffic, you really need to go 3D with roads. And by using tunnels, you can essentially create like a wormhole, like a warp tunnel from one part of a city to another and alleviate traffic. I always say that, my joke is tunnels are underappreciated. it's a bit of a, not always a hit, but.
Yes. Proposals to build such tunnels in here, Southern California, and in Illinois have fizzled after officials and the public began scrutinizing details of the plans and, oh my God, seeking environmental reviews. The tunneling company is building Musk's vision a bit in Las Vegas, according to CityCast Las Vegas. Beneath the city's urban core, the unlikely partner in his project is the tourism marketing organization, the people who came up with what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Apparently, the tunnel's going to stay in Vegas. Anyway, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority greenlit the idea, funded a 0.8-mile route at the convention center. As that small people mover opened 4 years ago, the authority was already urging the county and city to approve plans for 104 stations across 68 miles of tunnels. The project is privately operated, receives no federal funding. It's exempt from the kinds of exhaustive government vetting and environmental analyses demanded by the other cities where boring pitched tunnels. The head of convention authority has called the project the only viable way to ease traffic on the strip and the surrounding area, a claim never publicly debated at the city council when they granted boring permission to build and operate the system beneath city streets. And boring has skirted building, environmental, and labor regulations, according to records obtained by ProPublica. It twice installed tunnels without permits to work on county property. State and local environmental regulators documented it dumping untreated water into storm drains in the sewer system. And as local politicians were approving the extension of the system, boring workers, you know, the workers who worked at boring, were filing complaints with occupational safety and health officials in Nevada about ankle-deep water in the tunnels, muck spills, my favorite kind of spills, and severe chemical burns. After an investigation, Nevada OSHA, a couple years ago, fined the company more than $112,000. Boring disputed the regulators' allegations and denounced their alligators. It all sounds like Musk love. But speaking of transportation, in particularly Los Angeles, if the tunnel don't work, try going up in the air. News of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole III. Yes, spectators could fly through the Los Angeles skies and escape the city's notorious traffic during the 2028 Olympic Games. If the organizers have their way, LA28, the committee charged with planning the city's summer games, have announced a partnership with Archer Aviation to provide an air taxi service during the Olympics and the Paralympics. The company says it plans to use a fleet of aircraft to ferry fans to and from venues. That was announced by the LA28 committee this week, according to the BBC. Flying taxis have been a long-standing dream, were planned to debut in the Paris Games last year, but were not certified by Europe's Air Safety Agency in time. And Archer Aviation has not yet been certified by the FAA here, meaning the aircraft are not ready yet for commercial use. Its founder says he hopes to have that key sign off by the FAA later this year, if they're still an FAA. If they receive certification in time for the games, the air taxis would offer 10 to 20 minute flights to residents and visitors and fly between select destinations, including several of the largest Olympic venues. Unclear how much each trip would cost. The head of the company says he wants to keep prices comparable to a high-end Uber. The aircraft can carry up to 4 people. Well, that takes care of a lot of the crowds, doesn't it? And operates similarly to a helicopter in its takeoffs and landings. Says the head of Archer Aviation, quote, "We want to transform the way people get around Los Angeles and leave a legacy that shapes the future of transportation in America. There's no better time to do that than during the LA28 Games." Unquote. Safety regulations and investment have proved a big hurdle for companies trying to introduce flying taxis. Many still believe they could be the future of transportation. Well, there's more air up there than there is land down here, so, but when they crash up there, Archer Aviation remains confident its aircraft can buck recent trends and sees the 2028 Olympics as a way to introduce them to the world. Ching, 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 ding, ching, ching. Ching, 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 ding, ching, ching.
quem que lhe disse amar é tolice, é bobagem, é ilusão. Eu prefiro viver tão sozinho ao som do lamento do meu violão. Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, olha essa embrulhada em que vou me meter. Agora, amor, Doralice, meu bem, como é que nós vamos fazer? Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, amar é tolice, é bobagem, é ilusão. Eu prefiro viver tão sozinho ao som do lamento do meu violão. Doralice, eu bem que lhe disse, olha essa embrulhada em que vou me meter. Agora, amor, Doralice, meu bem, como é que nós vamos fazer? Um belo dia você me surgiu, eu quis fugir, mas você insistiu. Alguma coisa bem que andava me avisando, até parece que eu estava adivinhando. Eu bem que não queria me casar contigo, bem que não queria enfrentar este perigo, Doralice. Agora você tem que me dizer, como é que nós vamos fazer?
Santa Monica, this is Le Show. Ooh, I know it's chilly here, but it's even chillier over in Crypto Land. It's a crypto winter. Coinbase, one of the big firms in the crypto world, says some of its overseas support staff were paid off to steal information on behalf of cyber criminals. The company is now being extorted for $20 million. You know, dollars. It's the thing cryptos are supposed to imitate. According to a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission this week, an unknown threat actor, he's not in the guild, is he, contacted the crypto exchange giant this week, informing it of the stolen data, and demanded money in exchange for not publicly disclosing information. Coinbase said it verified the email was genuine and related to information that was indeed stolen, but it says it won't be paying the criminals any ransom. In a blog post, Coinbase confirmed the ransom demand was $20 million for data belonging to less than 1% of its monthly transacting users. Wouldn't you love to be a transacting user? Coinbase has vowed to instead pay $20 million for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the attackers. Company says the data doesn't include passwords or private keys, but depending on the use, the following details of its customers may be compromised: names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, last four digits of social security numbers, masked bank account numbers, some bank account identifiers, images tied to government IDs such as passports and driving licenses, Coinbase account data, including balance snapshots and transaction histories, limited corporate data, including documents, training material, and communications available via support agents. Coinbase said that at no point during the compromise could the attackers have accessed customers' funds, and confirmed the sources of the data were insiders bribed to steal information on behalf of the extortionists. Coinbase went on to say it's investing in anti-fraud technologies, never too late, to mitigate the possibility that any of the stolen data could be used to defraud customers any further, and it pledged to reimburse those who had already been scammed. It's also opening a new support unit based in the U.S. You won't have to talk to those people in Bollywood. And it's taking other measures to harden its defenses against this type of attack. So try something different next time. Threat actors. Ooh, it's a crypto winter. Meantime, back here where it's normal temperature, some brief notes that might be of interest. First of all, a media story from Puck.com. The television networks and streaming services have been presenting their wares to potential advertisers this week in New York. They're called the Upfronts, looking for people to buy advertising before the season starts when they can get more money for it. A VP of Amazon, which is now in the advertising business because its Prime video service now takes ads, claimed that the ads are, quote, extensions of the entertainment experience, not interruptions, unquote. It's because they're now selling a service, a gimmick that will allow advertising to sort of ape the content of whatever they're interrupting. And I do mean ape. Little note to Doge. Might want to look into this before Elon scrams. A massive military parade and festivities planned in Washington next month will cost an estimated $25 million to $45 million. It will involve dozens of warplanes, hundreds of army vehicles, and thousands of soldiers from across the country sleeping in downtown government office buildings. That's according to an army spokesperson. That would be a good time to attack, wouldn't you think, if you were a threat actor? The parade will be held June 14th, the same day as a certain felon's birthday. It'll include representatives from all active Army divisions. The parade's overlap with Trump's birthday has stirred up ire, according to the Washington Post, especially at a time when his overhaul of the federal government includes slashing the Department of Veterans Affairs. The president says the Post has long mused about soldiers marching and tanks rolling down the streets of the Capitol and aircraft roaring overhead. But he backed off the idea in 2018 amid pushback from the Army. When the Army pushes back, you know, they have guns. Meanwhile, the Mayor Bowser of Washington, said her concerns about the possible parade mainly involve military tanks on city roads. Quote, if military tanks were used, they should be accompanied with many millions of dollars to repair the roads, she said. And finally, for those concerned about losing weight, Novo Nordisk, the company that makes Wegovy and Ozempic, lost weight itself this week by ousting its chief executive over a slump in profits, declining market share, and a plunging stock price. Meanwhile, as you know, the felon in chief spent most of the week in countries that he used to not like. Remember when he had a ban on Muslims even coming into the United States? Oh, that was so 2017. Sorry, Joe. But now he likes those countries because they like him, because they give him parades. That's all you have to do is give him a parade. And but they gave him more than a parade. As you know, Saudi Arabia made a deal for a lot of crypto, I think, that he's in the crypto world. He's got his fingers in that. And Qatar, which Republicans are still denouncing for supporting, monetarily supporting alleged terrorists, Qatar gave him a real gift, a $400,000 plane to replace Air Force One.
The world looks like a jewel in my new Qatari jet. It's got more gold than any plane. that I've flown in yet. Or $400 million gift I'm too smart to reject. 'Cause I can fly. Yes, I can fly. Up, up and away in my new Qatari jet. Nothing travels faster than my new Qatari jet. It's got the hottest stews that I have ever met. No one in my party has the cojones to reject. 'Cause I will fly. Oh, I can fly. Eat my exhaust from my new Qatari jet. There's no way you can fly in my new Qatari jet. You haven't even given me $1 million yet. My new fellow monarchs could not be less suspect. 'Cause we can fly, oh, we can fly. Just kiss my ass in my new Qatari jet. My jet, jet.
And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Gary Lineker, the former England soccer player who became a leading sports broadcaster on the BBC, has apologized unreservedly. This doesn't really count as a BBC apology, but it's his personal apology for reposting an Instagram story about Zionism, about which more in a moment. In a statement this week, Lineker, 64, put him in the old enough to know better department, said he reposted material, which he has since subsequently learned contained offensive references. He withdrew the post, he says, as soon as he became aware of the issue. Quote, I take full responsibility for this mistake. I would never knowingly share anything anti-Semitic. It goes against everything I believe in, unquote. The criticism started after he shared a post from the group Palestine Lobby, illustrated with a picture of a rat titled Zionism Explained in 2 Minutes, unquote. How did he learn that that was an offensive reference? We'll have to just wonder. Dateline Providence, Rhode Island, a man in Rhode Island bought his wife a Donald Trump branded watch as a gift. What they got was a watch with rump on the dial. Due to an unfortunate typo, Tim Pettit said paid $640 for a limited edition Trump watch. Only one of 250. Wow, what a deal. Quote, I thought it was really nice. It was beautiful, and I know it would be something that my wife would like. Unquote. He bought the watch after hearing an ad for it on the radio featuring Trump himself. I guess he had just some spare hours or two to record that. Quote, with the president's voice, I was curious, so I went on the website, said Pettit. His wife, Melanie, said she likes the style, but it's what the watch is missing, the T in Trump, that makes it stand out. Quote, I noticed it right away, the T is missing. It just says R-U-M-P, unquote. The Pettits are wondering why a watch with such a glaring error was allowed to be shipped out. Quote, I'm very disappointed, quoting Tim Pettit now, and we had expected it would have the integrity of the President of the United States, unquote. Yes, he's dreaming. The GetTrumpWatches.com website calls its products the official watches of President Trump. In the small print, it notes that it licenses the name and likeness also stating it has nothing to do with any political campaign, that the watches are not designed, manufactured, distributed, or sold by Donald J. Trump, the Trump Organization, or any of their respective affiliates or principals. Tim Pettit said, "An apology would be nice for making my wife cry." The company has since reached out to apologize. The company is planning to replace the watch and offer the couple $800 to buy something else on the same website. Or ebsite. Daylon Albany, New York, trying to help mend the state's deeply troubled history with the 9 indigenous nations within its borders. The New York State Senate unanimously passed a resolution this week to apologize for the state's role in the, quote, cultural erasure, unquote, inflicted on children who attended the former Thomas Indian School on the Cattaraugus Indian Reservation. The children were abused physically and emotionally, and subjected to efforts to rob them of their culture. Initially opened in 1855 as the Thomas Asylum for Orphan and Destitute Indian Children, the state ran it starting in 1875 and changed its name to the Thomas Indian School. It was one of many locations across the country where American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian children were forcibly removed from their families in an attempt at cultural assimilation. School closed in 1957, scars remain, according to members of the nation. This from the Buffalo News. Republican Senator George Borello said it was a tool of forced assimilation. It was part of a system designed to kill the Indian and save the man. That's in quotes, he says. That's what their mission was stated as. Those words still echo with horror today. Unquote. A Republican state legislator in New York. There was a social media nightmare between El Gallo Bar and Grill and a Peoria family. The co-owner of the restaurant, who falsely accused the couple of being dine and dashers, has apologized for the harm caused. One of the co-owners said that after the Glass family paid via QR code, the payment records did not show up in their system. He then said the server told him there was a walkout, which made him believe it was the Glass family. He said the post was an act of emotion due to his having experienced it several times before and is sorry for the harm that was caused. Quote, "My intention was to get the names of the people so they could come back and pay for their meal," he said. "I have to use that money to pay for all my employees, all my workers, and to keep the lights on in the building," unquote. Hours after the initial post was made, the Glass family returned to the restaurant to make a second payment for the same meal, ensuring it was paid for. The co-owner said they insisted on paying for their meal again. He voided the transaction, feeling they deserved a free meal. The co-owner said they have taken the QR code off their system and are training all new employees on how to handle situations like that better. I have a one-word solution. Cash. Not cash back, just cash. News.com.au, the Australian version of Rupert Murdoch's empire, published an article late March of this year titled "Parents Launch Legal Action Over Awful Decision to Amputate Four-Year-Old's Leg After Alleged Negligence," unquote. The article included an unblurred photo of a nurse who wrote to news.com expressing concern that the article suggested it was alleged she had provided negligent nursing care. News.com says it wishes to make clear that no such allegation is made against the nurse and did not intend to make such a suggestion. News.com.au apologizes to the nurse for any hurt and embarrassment caused by the publication of the photo in the article. And finally, at a Senate subcommittee hearing this week, there was testimony from a State Farm policyholder in North Carolina who said his house, Hurricane Helene damaged home, is still unrepaired. An initial damage estimate had been greatly reduced, and a seemingly unknowledgeable adjuster was sent. At that hearing, State Farm's operations vice president took the step of apologizing. This according to Insurance Journal. Quote, we have 66,000 employees. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We made mistakes in the handling of this claim. These actions do not reflect the values of State Farm. Unquote, company vice president Michael Keating. He stood up to turn to address the insured complainant, Jacob Vertel. Quote, on behalf of State Farm, I want to sincerely apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Vertel. Unquote, Keating. He promised to resolve the claim and to never do any more commercials with Chris Paul. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now news of the atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, safe, too cheap to meet. Cheap, save, too safe to meet. Save, save.
Pacific Gas and Electric, that's the public utility, privately owned in Northern California, must repay the $43 million in costs associated with an inadequate fix of the aging Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. It's according to a new regulatory ruling that blames the company for lapsed oversight of the project. According to the decision by two administrative law judges, PG&E's failure to properly oversee a $130 million retrofit on the Unit 2 generator back in 2019 allowed leaks and excessive vibration to build up during the 2 years after the work was done. Ultimately, the troubled unit had to shut down for months to fix those problems. PG&E wanted ratepayers to cover the bill, saying the problems were unforeseeable, and the contractor it used for the retrofit had a good track record. It told regulators vibration had not been a problem at other similar plants. The judges ruled that PG&E had the obligation to verify the retrofit contractor's plan, and would, had they done that, it would prevent the kind of excessive vibrations that ended up triggering shutdowns. Critics say the ruling raises questions about the long-term integrity of the plant, which the utility hopes to keep operating beyond its 2030 authorization. Quote, this is the harbinger of bad things to come, said the executive director of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility Watchdog Group. This shows that as the plant ages, he says, more things will go wrong, and we can't trust the PG&E has the management competence to handle them, unquote. He worries that state legislation extending the plant's life allows the utility to charge ratepayers up to $300 million for mishaps connected with keeping the plant open. The French National Agency for the Management of Radioactive Waste has raised cost estimates for the proposed CIGEO radioactive nuclear waste burial project in Bure, Eastern France, from $28 billion now to, that was the 2016 estimate, now to as much as $42 billion. The proposed site would store high activity waste, 353 cubic feet, and long lived medium activity waste, 2.6 million cubic feet, produced by nuclear power plants, nuclear research centers, and used nuclear fuel processing facilities. The Ministry of Energy, this is France, will have to receive the opinion of the Nuclear Safety and Radiation Protection Authority and the observations of the main waste producers to set a new cost until reevaluation by the end of this year. First, waste deliveries would start in 2050, instead of the 2035 to 2040 period initially planned. The site would be operational for around 95 years. It'll be dismantled starting around 2145 and lasting around 20 years, the dismantling. And then, then the waste is out of mind. A government-commissioned report on the environmental impact of nuclear waste storage in the Netherlands is so flawed it must be redone, according to an independent review. The review by the Commission for Environmental Impact Assessment said the findings were incomplete, poorly substantiated, and in some cases incorrect, making it impossible to judge whether current waste management practices are safe, according to the paper. This is from Dutch News. Responsibility for storing nuclear waste in the Netherlands lies with a facility in Vlissingen, established in 1982, but which is still officially temporary. Commission Chairman Hans Lomas criticized the quality of the report, telling the Nuclear Regulatory Agency it is hastily compiled, poorly translated from English, and difficult to read. He also said the most suitable future storage locations may already be under threat due to new development. And he said he was surprised that his ministry still lacks a complete overview of the amount of nuclear waste produced by individual companies. Just count the Rentkins, babe. News of our friend the Atom. And now finally,
we've got the ultra modern knack of getting oil from the deepest crack. So give the boys just a bit of slack and say a hearty what the frack.
Ohio officials have confirmed that a recent series of small earthquakes in southeast Ohio are tied to oil and gas activity in the region. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the U.S. Geological Survey have linked the seismic events to hydraulic fracturing, fracking, near the Bears Pad in Noble County. These would be good Jeopardy answers. According to news outlets ODNR, Natural Resources Department, said it was the only active fracking site near the epicenter at the time of the earthquakes. They also noted the presence of one deep injection well within 5 miles of the Bears Pad. That well has been in operation since the 1980s and is used to dispose of wastewater from oil and gas extraction. That's a process that has previously been associated with induced seismic activity in Ohio and other states. What the frack? And now, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
Serious side effects that may lead to death include severe lung problems, heart problems including heart failure, and blood and bone marrow problems. Other serious side effects can include eye and skin problems and inflammation of the blood vessels in your skin. Tell your doctor right away if you have trouble breathing, shortness of breath, tiredness, weakness, cough, fever or infection, pounding or racing heart, swelling of your ankles or feet, dizziness, or any eye problems. Severe blistering and peeling of the skin, purple spots, skin redness, large hives that last more than one day, or easy bruising or bleeding that won't stop. These are not all the possible side effects.
They're holding back the good ones. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. I'm waiting for the Qataris to offer me a plane. I don't think it's going to happen this week, but what will happen this week is another edition of the show. Same time, same station, on the radio and on your audio device whenever you want it. We're now on YouTube as well. Me, on YouTube with this program. Tell your friend. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead, and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. The email address for this thing, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, if they're not all gone, and the playlist of the music heard here on, as well as a lot of stuff to read and watch and enjoy. All at harryshearer.com. And I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.
Thank you. until October wandered by. Let the years come and go, I'll still feel the glow that time cannot fade when I hear that.